and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 453. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined today by Nick Squared.
The mayo's on 35.
Well, it's Nick 1.5. You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We stream this live each week, each and every week, at koop.org. Do not leave this dial.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Don't ever let on that.
It is Wednesday, February 21st. On the show today, we have Texas musicals, Texas comedies, it says Crank Collective on my sheet, Red Scare. Then later on, Filigree Theater Company will be here with their show, A Delicate Ship, and we're going to talk to a very special guest representing Zach Theater and their show, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. And of course, we will have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, London, Albuquerque, and Warsaw, Poland. We'll be right back.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall, and you were as good as 10 feet tall.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
I haven't heard this song in a long time. I haven't listened to this album in a long time.
Yep, yeah, well, you know what?
That's a good one.
And can you tell the folks what it's from?
It's from Pearly.
It is from Pearly. I am playing all of our major interstitial music in honor of Black History Month. Well, so I'm doing shows that are highlighting African American people, actors, things,
stories.
All things African American, all things black and historic.
Ah, there you go.
Because it's Black History Month.
There you go.
Checking in with Nicole Shiro. How are you?
I am good.
What's new?
Olympics.
It's true. Are you watching the Olympics?
I am, because you know I'm trying to figure out how I can be in the Olympics, and I have now figured it out. I just need
You're gonna
to
just
get
jump
a Hungarian
into a luge?
Passport. No, did you see the American who's 33 and can't ski, but she got a Hungarian passport and skied for Hungary? She just kind of went like this, and they're all doing, yes. And I was like, that's it. I figured it out.
I
thought it was going to be archery or skeet shooting, but apparently...
Haven't watched it.
Don't you have to be part Hungarian to do that?
No.
No,
apparently
you can,
not.
You just sign up.
Listen, I was watching ice skating, and all of a sudden I hear South Korea is taking the ice. Whatever the guy's name was is from Austin, Texas. I was like, what?
That's true.
And I looked up. Redheaded guy grew up in Austin. Okay. Only got his passport.
So I would love to sit here and talk about the
sports talk.
The sports talk, but that's not what the show's about. It's about theater. So we're gonna
unity and
we are gonna we're just gonna move on. So it is Black History Month. I'm gonna just take a moment, and I was gonna do this. I apologize. First of all, let me just remind folks that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not those of the staff, the board of directors of Co-op, but simply ours here on this show. I just wanna take a moment to talk about Florida, and I hate to do this, but I have a voice on the radio, and I'm gonna take some time. It just really upsets me that we are seeing this once again, and that nothing will seem to be done about it. Even with, in my opinion, this new voice of the actual kids who are people are starting to listen to. But if our government couldn't ban bump stocks after this last thing, it's just shame on us. Just shame on us. So I just... that's to say, we're in an election season right now. If you haven't voted, you better vote. That is the way we change things. That is the way we get people with that will actually do something, that aren't afraid of the NRA, that aren't afraid of special interest groups. Please, please, please vote. It is in our control, and everybody, apathy is not allowed. There, off a soapbox. Anybody else? No.
I'll give you a jazz hand for that one.
Okay, jazz hand. You know what I totally didn't do? I didn't introduce the folks that are here with us today. So why don't we do that, shall we?
Yes, please do.
So I'm going to go in opposite order than I normally do. I'm going to go right to left. I typically always go left first, but I'm going to just give a nod to the other side and go right to left. Megan Ortiz, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Excellent. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
John Cecil.
Hello.
Hi, welcome. And Elizabeth. Oh, my God. Elizabeth, I just lost your last name.
It's Newman.
Newman, sorry. Oh, my God. Hello. If I don't have it in front of me.
It's a good thing she knows her last name.
And Stephanie Moore. You need to be right into that microphone.
That's me.
There you go. And then I'm guessing this is Kristen?
That's right.
Right into the microphone. You need to write up on it.
Yep. Hello.
Hey, Kristen, how are you? I don't think you've been this. Kristen DeGroot, first time on the show, right?
Yep, that's right.
Yay, welcome. Lovely. So we show how the... and I need to welcome back to the show Mr. Nick Mayo.
Boop.
Hi, guys. Welcome back, Nick. We haven't seen you in a long, long time.
I know it's been a long time. I've been all over the world. Hi, welcome back.
You've been all over the world. Well, we're very, very happy to have you here. And I should also say that Mr. Kim Simpson did a wonderful show.
He always rocks it, by the way.
He did Iceland.
Yes.
Which is not...
a place I'd like to go.
It's not... Finland. Nope, not Finland.
Okay, did you know he was playing the Iceland show, or did you just make that all happen right now?
I just made it all happen not too long ago.
Magical.
So, yeah, so we'll be hearing that a lot during the show today. So, yeah, Iceland. Here is pronunciations of Icelandic stuff. It's just wackadoo. All right, we have such little time and so many people to talk to and things to do. So I want to start with what you sent me earlier today, which is this thing about the World Trade Center. I had no idea about this whole arts complex that was going on in there. Did anybody else?
No.
Okay.
Well, it's been like a whole, as they
evidently
they wrote in here, it's had more reversals of fortune than a Greek drama. So there actually has been this big push. They've been trying to build a performing arts complex down at the World Trade Center, and it's been going back and forth and back and forth. And it actually this week got an approval for an agreement on a 99-year lease, which I thought for...
Which was one of the stopping points, is they didn't have a lease to sign, but they also hired a artistic director.
Yes, so they hired Bill Rausch, who leads the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Not too shabby. So they're hoping... The theater has a flexible performance space. It has three combinable halls. It's Ronald Perlman gave it to them, a $75 million gift, and they built
Love
that
Ronald
one.
Perlman. That, everybody knows, is Mr. and Mrs. Perlman's little boy.
Yeah. So they had $300 million raised. They actually named the artistic director. I think this is going to be interesting. I don't know what, you know, they're now working on the whole plans of what's going to be going on in the Perlman Center. I don't think everything... happen. He's staying with the Shakespeare Festival through 2019.
So yeah, so they think it's going to be open in the 1920 season.
But I just think the whole thing is fascinating, and I think it's really amazing that this is happening.
So, Elizabeth, you live in New York, do you not?
I live here now, but I was born in New York.
I thought you lived in New York. I thought you went back and forth.
I do. My family is there. My parents are there.
Okay, but did you know about the... Did you know they were going to do something in the...
I mean, I know there have been plans for years of trying to...
It's a lot of those,
yes.
But how many plans, you know,
right,
it's
exactly.
Like, the plan,
yes.
Oh, yeah, those
yes,
plans,
the
but...
plan, but I'm excited to hear that.
When they talk about the plan, the plan, the plan, the plan,
and
you know that...
it never really happens.
All right, never mind. I did not realize, who watched Smash?
Yes. Me.
Me.
Everybody, me too.
Guilty pleasure.
Catherine McPhee, who I was introduced to on that show, I did not realize has not been on Broadway.
No, that's what? Why I was totally annoyed by her being on that show.
Well, that's going to, well.
And I was like, really? She's the one that has the pizzazz over everyone else?
You'll be happy to know that she's going to get her chance.
Yeah, I know. They're putting
she's
her in
taking
waitress.
Over. Oh my God. You are so bitter much?
I don't find her talented. I'm sorry.
Oh, I liked her. I preferred her over, what's her name?
Megan Hilty.
Megan Hilty.
Wrong.
In that, I know.
Thank you.
I was in the minority, but I liked her more. So there you go.
Hey, different strokes for different folks. Right. That's what makes the world go round.
There you go.
That's why there was a whole two seasons of the show.
Well, it was...
Not due to a lack of good press.
Of different strokes?
It was... There's a new Different Strokes, but we're not going to go to that. So we did have an opening, and I chose this. It was it's an off-Broadway show. Sorry, it's an off-Broadway show with a review in the Times. But I chose it because both Nicole and I share a common, and I bet you other people in this room maybe, a common
enemy
sport. And enemy, you. which could be in the Summer Olympics. I don't think they have them in the... Do you know what I'm talking about yet, Nicole?
No, I'm...
It's fencing.
Oh, yes, it is the summer because you and I want to fence.
Yes,
they
exactly.
They have the crazy awesome... That's another sport I could do by Olympic medaling.
That's what I was just saying. So this is a show. It's a comedy called Athena about two teenage fencers fencing off.
Sounds kind of really awesome.
Yeah.
Why don't I know about this?
Well, I didn't either, but it was in the New York Times, so that's how I found out about it. So it stars Abby Awe, who plays Mary Wallace, and Julia Greer, who plays Athena, not her real name.
Oh.
In case you were wondering.
But
it sort of follows the whole thing of parry thrust. I get the advantage over you. You get, and their relationship goes that same way at the same time.
Sounds a little bit like Deuce.
It does.
But not.
This is written by Gracie Gardner, and the reviewer, who is Alexis Siliski, said it's a fierce and lovely comedy.
That sounds
fierce
interesting.
And lovely. So this is new for... I've not had this particular critic show up in the words I don't understand category.
Oh, they made the list now.
Yeah. So I'm going to say a sentence. Or I'm going to tell a word that's in a sentence, and y'all tell me if you can figure out what it is in context. It's actually pretty easy in context, but. Anyway, Mary Wallace, Abby Awe, who takes the train in from Teaneck, New Jersey, is a nerd and a naif. N-A-I-F. And there's an umlaut over the I, or double dot.
What's the question?
Somebody who's naive?
Yes, thank you. Very good. Elizabeth wins.
Thank you.
You get extra points for that.
Star.
Yeah, naive. So why didn't she just say someone who is naive? That's what I want to know. And then
just
the other
the
word.
Tongue as well. Nerd and naif, you know.
Yeah. Here's another one. But to the director, Emma Miller's credit, that bout is a long, real-time slog up and down the piste.
Piste.
P-I-S-T-E.
It's a ski thing.
Yes.
It's a trail.
Yeah.
Never heard of it before.
So if you go off-piste, you can fall into a crevasse.
I am not playing Scrabble with you.
Off-piste was my sorority name in college.
Mine was I'm Peaced.
Oh, God. True. Don't start in peace.
Okay. So who read the book The Lovely Bones? Here's a hint. The raising of hands does not work on radio. So Stephanie just raised her hand.
That's about all you're
going to
get out of me.
Oh, my gosh. No. We need much more. John Cecil's bringing in a chair. We like to
got a chair.
Narrate what's going on in the studio. So The Lovely Bones is a great book. If you haven't read it, I would suggest reading it. I would recommend reading it. It deals with a girl who was murdered, but it is that the book is very, very positive, I thought, oddly enough. The movie they made of it, on the other hand, was the most depressing pile of that I've ever seen. Bones, exactly.
Oh, that was a good little...
So they are adapting it for the stage. Dun, dun.
So which way do you think they'll go?
I don't know. I hope it's the way of the book. It's being written by Bryony Lavery. I don't know who that person is. It will be directed by Melly Still. And it's going to be done in England at the Birmingham Repertory Theatre.
Oh, Nick has some to say.
I don't like this. I know I just got back and quiet, but I don't like this.
What don't you like?
I mean, just come on.
Which? The Lovely Bones? Or
like,
the way...
Do we need to hear this story? Do we need to hear this story yet again? I mean, like, I just... No, come on. Make something new.
All right. Say it here.
Friend of mine was just talking to on the phone, and he's... off in LA doing development for the new musical of Dave. Yeah.
Dave. I'm all for it.
Oh, not about it.
Love that movie.
The President movie?
I do too, but I don't want to see. Yes, The President.
It was a great movie. Could
I think it would be well suited for, I mean, of the things that go from
but
movie
why?
To. Anyway, so.
But why? Why must you make the movie? Why?
Because I like Kevin Kline. Yeah. That's
oh,
why.
And that's exactly the reasoning. Because Kevin Kline's not going to be in it.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. So there was another debut on Wednesday, last Wednesday night, in Kinky Boots.
Yes.
Do you know about this debut?
Yes, I do, because it's my man from the Scissor Sisters, right?
Nope.
Oh, well, yeah, he's on there playing.
This is a new actor named Flynn. Anybody? Flynn was the winner of the Westminster Dog Show and is a Bichon Frise. And made a cameo on Kinky Boots. And because it was destined to happen, you know that all AKC dogs have a crazy fancy name. My first dog was Monarch, Cobblestone Monarch. I called him Junior. This dog's name is All I Care About Is Love, which everybody knows is a lyric from Chicago.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see that dog's contract.
It's a pink contract. All right. Okay, we're running out of time. Jeff Daniels and Celia Keenan-Bolger in To Kill a Mockingbird. Written by our oh my God, you are so. I wish the camera were here, because Nick is just so. It's being a well. Maybe this will. It was being produced by your favorite producer, Scott Rudin, and it's being adapted by your favorite adapter, Aaron Sorkin.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
Don't like what he did to Kristen Chenoweth, but I like him.
What do you do with the?
They used to date. It was a long story.
I don't want to know. Did I mean, I do. We'll talk later. It's going to be directed by Bartlett Sher.
Yep.
It's also got Gideon Glick. Now, I don't know about the others of you, but when I hear Gideon Glick's name, all I can think of is that Martin Short series.
Jiminy Glick.
And that's all I see.
That's all I saw when you said it in my head.
So it's... I don't know. I think he should think about changing his name. Let's see. It's going to start previews on November 1st, open December 13th. Sound design is by my friend Scott Lair, who is someone I worked with many, many times in the past.
Shazam.
All right.
Oh, you were just ripping it all up today.
Yeah, let's see if there's anything I want to talk about. Do you want... So I'll just mention this. There's an article, there'll be a link to it, about Lin-Manuel Miranda, which is sort of interesting. It was a 7-page article in the New York Times.
It was a hearty article.
It was a hearty article. And it's nice. It sort of talks about his upbringing, talks about where he lived and his father, what he was doing when he wrote In the Heights, as well as Hamilton. It's just interesting. And then to go with that, you sent me this. I did not read it, but I'll just read the headline. Hamilton becomes fifth selling cast album, fifth largest selling?
Yeah,
I think we're missing a word here in this headline.
Yeah, so...
Fifth
selling album of all
fifth
time
one
for Broadway. Fifth selling Broadway albums on the charts ever in the world. Mm. And knocked Jersey Boys off. So the ones above it, though, are like Phantom of the Opera. And other great ones. I know. Isn't that funny? I was laughing. I was like, really? But yeah, Hamilton now became the fifth by like 0.2 million. But
all right,
still.
Let's take
knocked him out.
Let's take another little break, and we'll hear a little bit from Ragtime. Is this Ragtime or is this Carolina Change?
Know,
it's Carolina Change.
Good.
Sorry,
oh, that's another.
It's
good
Carolina
one,
Change.
Too.
Here we go. We'll be right back. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick Squared.
Nick Squared!
Oh, they're back. It's Nick Squared!
Nick Squared!
Okay. We have been talking to a bunch of people. Now we're going to switch gears and narrow our focus down to talk to the folks of Texas Comedies and our very dear friend and old friend, and it's been on the show a zillion times, Mr. John Cecil.
Hi.
Although I don't recognize you without Mr. Mindertzma here.
I know. I'm usually with Josh Mindertzma when I'm in this room.
Yes,
but
you usually
he
are.
He is mourning his cat, Nina, in Los Angeles.
Aww.
Yeah. Sorry, Josh.
Nina,
hope you're listening.
Nina. Okay.
That is worth a cross-country trip.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And we have Kristen De Groot.
Hello.
Am I pronouncing your name right?
That is exactly how you pronounce it. I think it's Dutch.
That's how... Could it be... could it be Finnish? And Megan Ortiz.
Hello.
So this is part of the Texas... Well, all your shows are Texas histories, it seems.
Yeah, the last five or six have been. Yeah, ever since we stopped with Antarctica, that was not Texas. I don't think. Not yet.
Well,
you just wait, though. We have plans. Yeah.
You just wait. The ice is melting. It's going to be Texas soon.
So this one's set in Texas in the 1950s. So it's the latest, the most recent one we've ever done.
Right. So this is, I take by the title, Red Scare, that mm-hmm. this is about... The Red Scare.
It's about a witch hunt that took place in Houston. The school board was taken over by the Minute Women, here portrayed by these two ladies right here. And the Minute Women took over the school board and rooted out communists, suspected communists, fellow travelers, and suspicious people.
Right. You're welcome.
What year was this?
1954 is when it's set.
1954. I wasn't around.
Right.
Thought it was my fault for a second. So this is, you guys are the bad guys in this, if you
will? Yeah, a little
bit.
You're
welcome. You're the anti-heroes. How's that?
The anti-heroes is
I'd say
perfect.
It's evil people and weak people, and they're the evil people.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, nobody really wins at mm-mm. the end of this show.
No.
No. Does it take place in a school board?
Yes, we are. There's three school board meetings, and then there's also a Texas Ranger DPS who's based on Frank Dixon. The story is based on a book by Don Carlton called Red Scare, and uh-huh. then there's also some Texas Rangers hunting commies.
Some, yeah.
That's, all true.
Don't I know it? That, by the way, was my sorority name in college.
Oh, it was?
Red Scare.
Okay.
So you're gonna do
Red
it. You're
Scare
gonna.
Off-piste?
Pardon moi?
Red Scare off piste?
Yes. Oh. See, we speaking of piste. So we're going to hear a song.
That's right.
Tell us about it.
Okay, so this song, Megan, why don't you tell?
Megan, you tell.
So this song is called Just a Minute More, and this is, my character's name is Bertie, and Miss Kristen's character's name is Margaret, and we are trying to get the head of the board, Mr. Coates, to listen to our ideas, and he just kind of wants to leave, so we're talking him into staying and hearing us out.
Okay, so this is John Cecil, Megan Ortiz, and Kristen De Groot doing a song from Texas Comedy's production of Red Scare.
Just a minute more, just a minute more. Give me satisfaction for just a minute more, just a minute more, just a minute more. My head filled with tension. Now that I'm all grown, don't you say not now, dear. My turn on the floor, or I am going nuclear. Oh, we have to hurry, Bertie. Mr. Coates is a very important man. Aw, no time for little old us. Just a minute more. Just a minute more. I know I could get through if I could continue for just a minute. Just a minute. Just a minute. Just
It's fun.
That was awesome. Oh.
the actresses here are yelling at one another.
Right before we started, Megan was like, "Oh gosh, wouldn't it be awful if I messed up that word that we always mess up?"
Oh,
and
no.
then I did.
And then you did. Yeah. But it was good. I wish if only the webcam were active to see Kristen's face when that was happening. It was pretty funny. She gave you the stink eye.
No, it was a look of forgiveness.
Well, it was a forgiveness layered with stink eye.
It was a little stinky forgiveness.
But what a beautiful song. I love the harmonies. The harmonies are gorgeous.
The harmonies are great. That's why we wanted to bring them on.
And did you, is this a John Cecil composition?
This is, yep. All the songs are.
Yep. It's a wonderful. Good job. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
So are the rest of the songs in the show of a similar vein?
Well, there's some later 50 songs thrown in, so you hear a little bit of that. One of those.
I'm sorry,
how was that
what?
Again? I'm sorry, please. Could you repeat that?
There's one of those.
Maybe two.
Like that one.
Are you thinking of Jamaican music?
No. Late
50s. Please don't fight.
Jamaican music would be boom, bidi ding, gong, boom,
pa. I'm so sorry. That's completely different. You're
that's
right.
True. As opposed to ska,
silly
which
me.
Is.
Yes,
see,
yes, of course.
Okay.
Oh, we have lost control.
So this sounds like a lot of fun. Is this a two-actor or a one-actor?
Oh, it's a one-act.
It's a one-actor.
It's a one-act show. It goes from 8 to 9, 10.
8 to 9, 10.
9, 10, yeah.
Okay, that's about, if I'm doing my math correct, that's about an hour and 10 minutes.
That's 70 minutes,
I think
Lisa.
So, yeah.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I got it wrong. So what has been fun about doing this? So this is the first time? Is this premiere?
It starts for the first time ever tomorrow night. Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow night.
Never before seen by anyone.
How exciting. Well, your shows are always so much fun.
Thank you.
And educational, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I did read a book.
Funnocational, as we call that.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. I like that. That's a good word.
Feel free to use it.
I think we should.
So how long have you guys been working on this so far? When did you, John, start the process?
March last year, I guess. And mm-hmm. then the show we started rehearsing about 6 weeks ago, normal time.
The normal time?
Isn't that the normal time?
You know what? I don't think there's a normal. I do mine in 3 weeks.
Oh.
I do. You think I'm kidding?
There was a Z-snap y'all missed
there.
I
figure like there was a little bit of a challenge there.
There was, yeah.
A little bit of a one-upmanship.
Yeah,
there.
So,
Lisa, you are on fire.
I mean, I do
today.
Mine in 3 weeks, NBD, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I can do mine in.
We are all off piste.
I can
it's
do
fine.
Mine in 1 week. Lisa, do that show. Well, cool. So, where can folks go to get more information about the show?
Well, I tell you where I would go. I'd go to texshows.com. That's TEXSHOWS.com.
Mm-hmm. And you, as you say, you open tomorrow.
We do.
And you're at the Doherty Art Center.
Yes.
How long do you play? When do you close?
We're going to be finished March 3rd. It's the last night.
Yep, that's what my notes say, too.
Yeah.
2 weeks of fun.
Can I bring the whole family?
Oh, yeah. We have no profanity.
Okay.
There's no explicit scenes of sexuality.
Good.
I can think of.
Megan and I have made sure of that. We want to protect your children.
That's true. The anti-heroines.
That's right. They even ban a book by D.H. Lawrence in the play.
Well, as well they should.
The nerd, obviously.
Yeah. And is there any... Who else is in the show?
We've got Creighton Munch.
Mensch.
Is it Mensch?
I think it's
Mensch.
Is
he a Mensch?
Is he a Mensch? Yeah, okay. We went there. We all went there.
Jack Rogers is in the show. Carl Guthrie is in the show. Heath Allen is in the show. And
Emily Villarreal
is in the show.
Well, great. Well, thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having us.
And hopefully you guys are welcome to stick around to join us backstage, or if you have to boot scoot off, I totally understand.
Well, awesome. Thanks for having us. Thanks for being you, and thanks for doing the show.
thank you.
Yes, thank you.
That was John Cecil, Megan Ortiz, and Kristen DeGroot of Texas Comedy's production of Red Scare. Opens February 22nd, plays through March 3rd at the Doherty Arts Center. For more information, texshows.com.
There's a ring of gold in Texas.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa Sheps, as well as Nick Squared.
Nick Squared!
We just got finished talking to the good folks at Texas Comedies, and we're going to talk a little bit of local stuff right now with everybody. But before we do, Stephanie Moore, since you're so quiet, Get yourself up to that microphone and give me a number between 2 and 50.
14.
Okay. Well, let's. I'm going to stall for just a moment while I cue it up, and we're going to see what that is. Here we are.
Hi, I'm Don Toner from Austin Playhouse. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air, KOOP, Hornsby, Austin.
One of my very first legal IDs that I ever got, nine years ago.
I was about to say, that, isn't that one of
That sounds like a young Don Toner, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. He sounded
very young Don Toner.
Smart. Yeah,
he sounds like he's just about 75.
Hey, Lisa, what was that song from?
Oh, yeah. So that was, so, you know...
Texas, Texas.
There's a ring of gold in Texas from a little show called Das Barbecue.
Yeah, I saw that. Das Barbecue.
And
what
it's
is
spelled
this?
B-A-R-B-E-C-U. Das Barbecue. I don't know much about it, except that it has a song.
With Rocky Das Musical.
That's why I went there. Das Barbecue. So oddly enough, there are very few songs about communism. On the Broadway.
Really?
I couldn't find one.
That's shocking.
Yeah, I know. Now, I'm sure there is one.
Did you listen to more of Das Barbecue? Or are we going to have to go on and learn more about
it? We may have to go on and learn more about it.
I'm on it.
You have opened Pandora's box.
I knew you were going to say that. So what I want to talk about here in this thing is I've got a little press release about the Broadway Across America's season next year. And I don't hate it.
Really?
I don't.
I was wondering what you were going to say.
I don't hate it.
It does
there are
have one of your favorite shows.
There are
on
things
the list.
That I don't want to see. So here it goes. In October, the play that goes wrong.
I'm
very
excited
to see that.
One. Yes.
Elizabeth, why
is
all that glee?
Excited too.
I was jumping up.
Get right up to that microphone.
I was jumping up and down. I saw it in London a couple of years ago, and my stomach hurts so much from laughing so hard.
Isn't that awesome?
It was the best hurt ever.
It is holding on in New York. It's not doing great at the box office, but it's not doing poorly either. But it's still there. Love Never Dies. Yeah, okay. Waitress, looking forward to that.
I thought you might be.
Yep. Anastasia, can live without. Anybody?
I'm with you.
Yeah, can live without. Fiddler on the Roof, I'm interested to see what tour this is.
I know, you love the show, so I was like,
I am fearful of the quality of this particular piece. I'm just going to say that loud. Going to be fearful. And then this one, y'all are going to hate that I'm excited about this. It's Cats.
I was about to say, meow, is that the one you're
it's
excited
Cats,
about?
It's Cats, a show that I have never seen.
I know.
I was in New York for 20 years. It was almost there my entire time in New York. I never watched it.
It's more of a dog. You're more of a dog.
More of a dog. And then the last one I've not even heard of. Hamilton?
Yeah.
Anybody?
I'm not sure, so I need to learn a little bit more about that one.
Yeah.
See if we like it or
yeah.
not.
Yeah. So the things that I'm not crazy about, Love Never Dies, I'm not... That's the sequel to Phantom of the Opera, which is my version of hell to begin with.
I'm going to say this. Have you seen Love Never Dies or heard the music from it?
No, nothing about it.
Okay.
They've tried.
It's actually really good music, and I'm actually... You're hearing me say that, and... Even though it's a sequel, it's a really standalone piece. They're kind of apples and oranges in my book of...
Well, here's what I hear.
Everyone's been trying for years to get people to like it.
Yep. Yeah.
And they're continuing
And he's working...
To try.
I heard he wants to write another one to go with it. And I was like, no.
I hear it's a roller coaster ride of intrigue, obsession, and romance.
Well, the roller coaster ride thing is because there's so much of it is set in that sort of like carnival, strange, weird, dilapidated.
Where you hear the music of the night.
There you go.
They've traded an opera house for a carnival. Similar versions of the old story. But you know what? It's a cool season. Great. People should buy tickets and go support it.
Well, if they would want to, they always have that opportunity. They can go to austin.broadway.com and do that. So let's see. And I don't know. Check on for more information. I'm not sure whether the season is available for whether they can do anything about it yet or not. But we'll see.
They can.
Just go onto the website. Yeah. And you can figure it out.
All that information's up there.
So let's go to Today in Theater History.
Today in Theater History.
Day in theater history. 1879.
What happened?
So this is the very first time on Broadway in the American premiere of Gilbert and Sullivan's The Sorcerer.
I don't even know anything about that.
Well, it deals with a sorcerer.
I was about to say, guess what? There's a sorcerer in it.
And there's some singing.
Oh, rhyming, I would imagine.
A ditty or two.
It's a ditty or two. I put an exclamation point by this. So this is 1928. This is an oddly titled thriller called Shh, the Octopus.
Amazing.
It's a killer octopus threatens a group stranded in a lighthouse. This is 1928, kids. It stars Ralph Murphy and Donald... Oh, no. It's written by Ralph Murphy and Donald Gallagher. I don't know either of them. It ran 47 performances, and it was filmed.
Hey,
so
listen.
I will be checking this out.
47 performances. Cool. That's more than a lot, Scandalously.
That's true.
Buffet.
I know.
That's true. And in the 20s, that's a long time. 1958, the year of my birth, there was a musical called Portofino. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh, no. Actually, I have. I
well, so if the...
There was someone big attached to it, no?
An octopus?
Helen Gallagher.
It was an octopus.
Yeah. Well, if the octopus played for 47 performances, this played for 44 fewer.
Oh.
I know.
That means three.
It starred Helen Gallagher, who I didn't realize that was that old, written by Lewis Belson, Will Irwin, and Richard Ney, as well as, here's the name, Sheldon Harnick, but he's the last in the list, so who knows. 1991, Neil Simon opened Lost in Yonkers at the Richard Rodgers Theater, starring Mercedes Rule, Irene Wirth, and... the Kevin Spacey who shall not be named. I just named him. But anyway, it was. I didn't realize it won a Pulitzer.
I saw that.
2008, the Meyniere Chocolate Factory's production of Sunday in the Park with George.
Always in the park.
At Studio 54.
George.
Yep. And let's see, that's it. So, birthdays. Rue McClanahan.
Oh.
Speaking of the Golden Girls. Our Gilden Girls? Golden
no,
Girls?
Golden
Girls,
Golden
I got it right.
Thank
David
you for
Geffen.
Being a friend.
Oh.
Tyne Daly, 1946. Alan Rickman, I like me some Alan Rickman. Christine Ebersole, Kelsey Grammer, and others. Okay. Yes.
You mentioned Mercedes Rule. Torch Song is transferring. That's cool.
That's true. Torch Song is
just
transferring.
About to say Mercedes Rule, Torch Song. And 2002, Elaine Stritchatter. One woman show.
Yes, it did. I had that marked, but I decided not to. I decided not
oh,
to
well,
say
we
it.
Oh, we love Elaine.
So. Okay, then okay. Elaine Stritch had her one woman show. So yes, Torch Song is indeed transferring with the original cast: Mercedes Rule and what's his name,
Michael Urie.
So that's good. Let's take another turn and celebrate African American Black History Month with the Scottsboro Boys.
Yay.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick to the Second Power.
Nick to the Square!
Nick to the Square! I knew I'd screw you guys up. We were talking with John Cecil and Megan Ortiz and Kristen DeGroot earlier, and now we're going to shift our attention and talk to Filigree Theater Company and the two partners that make that happen, Elizabeth Newman.
Hello.
You're both blonde, and I just looked at Stephanie when I said your name. Stephanie Moore.
We share a brain anyway.
We do share a brain.
Okay. Yep. And I'm going to do this because I know I'm going to kill this pronunciation because I don't remember. Here with us from their PR company is Allie Marzalkowski.
Nice.
Scream out hello, Allie.
Hello.
So there.
That's a good voice.
That was
she tried to tell me that she wasn't going to go on the air today, and so, you know, I couldn't allow that to go.
Well, they all say that to you, and it just doesn't happen.
So, Elizabeth and Stephanie, I'm so happy to have you on. I know we wanted to get you on. We were talking about getting you on during when you did Betrayal for your season. And this is your inaugural season, is it not?
It is. Indeed, yeah.
That's quite exciting. And you've got a... before we talk about the show specifically... tell people how you develop your season, what your mission is, because I think it's fascinating.
Oh, thank you. Sure. So our shows are, it's a 3-show season. It's past, present, and future. So
also
our,
my sorority name in college.
Off piece slash past, present, and future.
They're all there.
So our fall show is and will be from the theater canon. Our winter show is playwrights living and working today. And our spring show is new works, world premieres, and each season is tied together with a common theme.
Okay, and this year's theme is three.
Yes, so this year the official theme is triangles, trios, but what's interesting is as we are exploring these different plays, there are all these sort of secret themes of memory and relationships and lies and trust and relationship to time, so.
That's kind of cool.
Thanks.
Yeah. So tell us about the current production, which is A Delicate Ship.
Yeah. So we are doing the Austin premiere of Anna Ziegler's beautiful play, A Delicate Ship. And it stars Nicholas Wendell, David Moxham, and Laura Ray. And it is at the Santa Cruz Theater. We're about to start our second weekend of the run.
Right, so, yeah, Stephanie is just nodding.
Stephanie doesn't like, Stephanie does not like to talk very much.
I really don't like to talk that much.
But she's smiling at the same time.
And you know that's why I want to just keep asking you questions.
Okay, go ahead.
So tell us who's in the show. A Delicate Ship. Somebody.
David Moxham, Nicholas Wendell, and Laura Ray.
Okay, and we know Betrayal is a 3-character play. Is the one that you're doing, the final, also a 3-character play?
It's a 6-character play.
It's a, oh, we're doubling it.
Yes.
But it's like Nick Squared, but
the trio.
It's exactly. A Nick Squared trio.
Yeah. I like that.
So what attracted you to this play? Delicate Ship is such a great story. Our friend Nick Westrate was in the original production.
I was just about to say, you have this connection. Is it the other, another Nick?
What trio attracted you? Yeah, what attracted you to this piece? I mean, obviously it's about relationships, friendships. There's an intimacy in terms of set. Talk to me about when you first read it, what did you say? Oh, I got to do this.
Oh, sure. So Anna is a friend of mine from college.
Oh, awesome.
And I've been reading a bunch of her work. And as we were putting together the first season, I talked to her and said, you know, we'd love to include something of yours in our inaugural season. And do you have anything that you would prefer for us to do? And she said, well, how about A Delicate Ship? I said, yes, please. Thank you. I love the... I love her language. You know, she's a poet as well as a playwright, and I love how. And this is something that I've talked with the actors in our. We were fortunate and able to do a lot of extensive table work beforehand, so really sort of delve in. And the way that Anna's language is, on one hand, extremely lyrical and beautiful and haunting, it also rolls off the tongue and feels very naturalistic. Mm-hmm. And so that's been something that's been really fun to play with the cast, is to sort of have the present day set. I mean, it's all set, it's all a memory, it's all a dream, not a dream, a memory of a Christmas Eve years before. But those shifts and those internal shifts of when they're living we call it Christmas present, take all the puns you want, and, you know, Scrooge, et cetera. How they shift from sort of being in that moment to popping out of the moment to reflect on it and then coming back in. Mm-hmm. And that's just something that we've been really drawn to. Betrayal also explores, as we were saying, memory and reflections and how our relationship to memories change. Our pre-inaugural show, which we took to Los Angeles over the summer, was the LA premiere of a play called Any Night by Daniel Arnold and Medina Hahn. And that's much more of a fever dream, but it's also about memory and reality. And so sort of all of these elements sort of played together.
Awesome. But
it's a great piece.
Yeah.
I'm happy that Austin audiences might have an opportunity to see this. It's a really lovely piece.
Yes.
Well, I love the idea of doing a lot of table work, which is something that a lot of folks don't get that luxury.
No.
For those that don't know what that means, explain what you mean when you say table work.
We sit around and we make tables. No. Sorry. Dad, that one goes out to you. Oh, no.
They actually work very closely. Elizabeth works very closely with the actors, really delving into the character development and finding out what these characters really do and what they what they mean and what they're going back and like really analyzing what these who these characters are and embodying these characters. Right.
And this all happens before you put it on its feet.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so for Betrayal, we had to do a whole lot of it because I would say several sessions, it was just, okay, when are we and what happens since the Betrayal, it works its way right. backwards. But also with Delicate Ship, it's sort of, well, what does this mean to this person? What does this mean to that person? Mm-hmm. So that once they're up on their feet, all of those sort of deep inner work of the characters has mm-hmm. been layered in so that the action and the physical part of it can come from sort of the work that we've done and mm-hmm. figuring out the relationships ahead of time.
So that's wonderful. So for the sake of the audience, most of the time when you begin rehearsals, you do a table read and then you jump up on your feet and start actually working on it. But this is it's a wonderful time for group research, if you will, and group. And so often, well, almost all the time, you don't get that.
No, mm-hmm. you don't. But it is a very special. There's something organic about it, and something so special about it that. So that's mm-hmm. cool that you're doing that.
Yeah. And you're doing this at the Santa Cruz Theater, which is a lovely little space.
Yes, our whole first season has been, is now, will be. I'm actually sort of quote like bastardizing Anna's play. If there's a time, it happens. It is happening. It will happen. No, but yes,
the Santa Cruz. Tell folks where the Santa Cruz Theater Center is.
It's on 1801 East 7th Street.
Right.
So it's close to the Planned Parenthood across from Houston Tillotson.
Right next door to the Planned Parenthood, I believe they share. Yep. You share a
parking lot.
You can park over there.
Catty corner to Whistlers.
That's why we love Planned Parenthood.
Yes. It's one of many reasons.
Yes. And I should say that the opinions expressed here on Austin.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we said that at the beginning. People know we have
just
opinions.
Just remind him again. It's all right.
You have opinions?
We're opinionated people.
I do. Well, I'm thrilled you're here. Also, before we move on, just with regards to Filigree, one of the things I love on your website is how you describe the name of your theater company.
Yes.
Can you tell folks a little bit about that?
Sure. So I studied Latin for lots of years. But the word filigree comes from the Latin for the word for seed and the word for thread. And that sort of is the core of our company's mission of planting, aside from our season structure, it's like planting seeds here in Austin of helping to grow and develop work and work with actors and artists, and then connecting Austin to theater in New York, theater in Los Angeles, sort of across germination. So you can't see what I'm doing with my hands, but I do like planting seeds and growing
website.
Threads.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's really cool.
Yeah, she talks with her hands a lot.
I do. This is really tricky for me.
So, well, that's great. And you've already opened. You've got one more weekend left.
Yes.
Where can folks go to get more information?
www.filigreetheater.com.
Okay. And it's theater with an R-E because we're fancy like that.
Don't need to say that.
That's
to our
the correct way.
Yes.
What our
yes.
listeners.
We have
know.
A default way to do it here. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show. Hopefully, you can
thank
join
you.
Us backstage.
Wonderful. Yes. Thank you so much for having us.
We would
exciting.
Love to see you there. That was Elizabeth Newman and Stephanie Moore, along with I'm going to try it again, Ali Marzulkowski. With Filigree Theater.
She raised the roof for you.
Oh,
and their production of A Delicate Ship, which is playing now through February 25th at the Santa Cruz Theater. For more information, filigreetheater.com. And I didn't really know what to do, but it had to come from the last ship, which is what I did. Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick Squared. We just got finished talking with Elizabeth Newman and Stephanie Moore of Filigree Theater. And of course, as always, in the background, Ali Marzulkowski.
There's a party with Ali wherever she goes.
So let me take a moment to introduce my special guest from the press office at Zach Theater. Please welcome, if you will, stand by. Here's a little fanfare. Miss Nicole Shiro.
Y'all are ridiculous.
So Nicole is going to take off her hat as co-host of the show and put on her hat as guest, and because she works with Zach Theater and their PR department, and we're going to talk a little bit about the curious incident of the dog in the nighttime.
Yes. Well, I have to say, personally, taking my PR hat off, I'm pretty excited because, first of all, I love this show, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. But this weekend, this Saturday matinee, they are doing the first main stage sensory-friendly performance. And this is just so important.
Explain to folks what that means.
So we do, I don't know how many other, a lot of theaters offer it. So sensory-friendly performance is for those on the spectrum to be able to come in and see the show and not be overwhelmed by lights or scenes or action. So the show is slightly altered to be able to enjoy this show. And this show is specifically tricky because it is a show about a boy who has autism. And part of the joy of the show is the overwhelming senses and being shown to the audience so you understand the world that this character and this person lives in. So this was the first Broadway show that would play, straight play, that was ever done as a sensory-friendly show in New York.
So something that folks can do if they want to get an idea of what it's like living with autism, just go onto the internet and search out YouTube videos about autism, and you will get these videos that sort of give you an idea of what it's like through the lens of someone suffering from autism. And it's very, very interesting.
It's really interesting. It's interesting what they're doing. I will say, in this show, Preston Strauss, who's playing Christopher, the lead in the show, he's at Texas State. What a little talent this guy is. But Dave Stakely directed this, and he had Joe Carr, who's an actor in town who also has autism, and he was a consultant and sat on the whole show as part of the show itself. And then for the sensory friendly part, Chad Dyke, who is the associate artistic education director at ZAC, he's been working with Diane Nutting at Smithsonian Folklife Festival, working together to create these documents. There'll be moments where you'll be able to know ahead of time when there is something that is very emotional, so you know how to talk to it. Lights will be up at a certain percentage. There's a whole bunch of listing online about what that entails. Mm-hmm. But it's fascinating what you have to do, especially on a technical show and a feat like this, to create that.
And if you could just think about anything going back, I look at any of the shows that I've done, or almost anything in life. If we are, for instance, if we were to have to do a sensory-friendly version of the show that we just did, that would be difficult.
It would be difficult. It would be difficult. Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. Benjamin Ensley Klein, who we've had on here, he directed Anne, and he has a connection with Zach. He's the associate director on Curious Incident. He was a big part of putting together the actual Broadway version of this sensory friendly, and he worked with Chad, and Chad gave me one of the best explanations that Ben gave, and I said, how do you change, you know, how much staging has changed? What goes into this? And Ben said it was the opening sequence is a really important one. You know, normally you go into the theater and when the lights come up, the dog is dead, there's a pitchfork in it, you know, this is what's happening. And that can be overwhelming and jarring in the autistic world. So one of the changes and elements they made is that the dog was already there on stage before the house opened. So when you came into the house, the dog was there and this element was there. So there's small little things like that.
So slight spoiler for those of you that haven't seen the show before, the dog dies.
Well, I mean, it's,
well, but you don't know it from the title till you get to, unless you.
Well, the Broadway, I was about to say the Broadway stuff had the pitchfork. Art, had press art had the dog there with the pitchfork in it.
Well, I'm interested, Nicole, of if someone who is attending a performance that is not.
It's not going to change the experience.
Yeah, talk about the show. The show's good.
Yeah, it's
And I just need to say that we have about a minute left.
We have about a minute left, yeah. The show, it's not going to change the experience for you. Actually, I would find it more engaging personally to me because I like having that different experience overall. The show is smart. It's witted. It's based on a novel by Mark Haddon. It's so witty and it's so loving, and I know the central character has autism, but I wouldn't say the whole show's about autism, but it's about, there's so many different messages in it that's really, really exciting. So, and I'm I've just really enjoyed being able to be a part of this show, and the sensory just got me so excited.
That's
awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Hopefully, I'm going to see it tomorrow night. And
where's Peggy Lee says,
this was one of the things that I was always interested to see ever since the roof fell in at the theater in London.
In London.
On the London production. So that's exciting. Thank you for sharing all that with us. Where can folks go to get more information about it?
They can go to zactheater.org.
And it plays through March 4th at the Top Fur Theater at Zach.
Yes, yes, awesome. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I was going to do the whole closing thing, but we're running out of time. So I just thought I'd sign off here. And I'm so glad that the three of us are together.
It's been a while.
In a very, very short, like in a 15 second. Where were you, Nick Mayo?
I was in New York for a week. And then I was in the Mediterranean, in Spain, in France, and in Monaco. And Italy.
Were you on a Royal Caribbean ship?
I was not on a Royal Caribbean ship.
Oh my God, you almost Finland Viking. It was close.
So your week in New York, did you get a chance to see a show?
I did. I saw Once on This Island, which was wonderful. I saw The Hangman, Martin McDonagh's new play, a friend of mine is in. Saw a bunch of development of new work, which is exciting. And it was a wonderful trip. I had a wonderful trip to New York. I look forward to being back.
Awesome. Well, we got to roll. If you're listening to the podcast, stick around. We're going to go backstage. If you're listening on the radio, we have Austin Monitor News up next. We'll be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. I should say that next week is membership drive time. Please, please, please. We're narrowing this down to just 1 week this year. 1 week, 10 days. I know those two things don't match up, but it's going to be 10 days. One show for us.
Totally.
Please, please call in and become members of your radio station. Here we go. Last one for Black History Month from Ragtime. Make them hear you.
Go out and tell our story. Let it echo far and wide. Make them hear you.
The curtain has come down on Big News, the musical. The story of a young newsboy in the 20s selling papes. And decides to call his show Newsboys.
Trying
News
to make a living.
So we are here. We have the show has come down. We're sitting backstage. We've gone outside the stage door. We're sitting here next to the dumpters. Dumpters?
Dumpters. The dumpters are the same liquids.
Many people did not know that that was the original pronunciation of that word. We're sitting here by the dumpsters. Our feet are like dangling over the edge in puddles of unnamed liquid. And we are here with Elizabeth Newman. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello. You paint such a beautiful picture.
We want people to understand what it's like back behind the
theater. We want people to feel like they're really here with us in this special location.
Got we have all. Stephanie Moore.
Hi.
And we have relatively close to a microphone.
She is. She's not going to get out of it.
Allie Marzakowski.
Hello.
Now, I want you to take that microphone and yank it and put it right by your mouth. Allie. And we're going to start with you, Allie. What's your story?
Sure.
You are running. Tell people that since we did not interview you on the terrestrial part of the show, what's the name of the company you work for?
So I work for an agency called Sunshine Sachs. We're headquartered in New York, but we also have an office here as well. And I get to work with these lovely ladies, and that's really my story.
And you get to work for a place called Sunshine. Come on.
I know, right?
Sunshine, go
away. Actually, that was a song. I was like, that's a song lead in. I know it's a song lead in.
Sunshine on my shoulder.
Love it. Keep going.
Good morning, sunshine. So have you always been in PR?
I have. I feel like I'm one of the few that actually went to school for it, too.
Oh, you did? Where did you go to school?
I went to Syracuse.
Get out!
From Buffalo.
I graduated high school at Fayetteville Manlius.
My mom used to teach at FM.
My senior
year,
I was also at Syracuse and the Orangemen.
What a small world. Yeah. Yes.
Small world.
When did I graduate? Syracuse? Or
when were you in Syracuse?
2008 to 2012.
Oh, I'm way older than you.
Yeah.
We're just
you're way older
stop
than everybody.
Stop right
no,
there!
No, 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 but
so I was there in the 80s. So.
Oh, my
okay.
gosh.
Well, that's that is awesome.
Girl, so moving to Syracuse.
Well, we deserve this weather. That's
so you're from Buffalo? Is that where you grew up?
From Buffalo, did the New York thing for a couple of years, and then found my way
when
down
were you
here.
In New York?
I was in New York right after graduation, so 2012 to probably 2015, almost 16.
We were talking before the show, and you typically or mostly deal in the film and television world.
We do. I mean, our company spans across everything. At the heart, we have social good causes and entertainment. Mm-hmm. Kind of, they combine forces, but we work across all different verticals.
And again, I care less about your company and more about you.
Right.
Do you have a personal interest in film, television, and or the arts?
I do. I'm more of an events girl, I guess you could
say.
An
EG, we call them.
So, what'd you call them?
EGs.
EGs. I'm an EG.
Okay.
No. Lots of money. And so have the passion for the red carpets and different events of the world, mm-hmm. actually.
What's your favorite event that you've worked on?
I would have to say, that's a real toughie.
Well,
we do the Golden Globes. We work with the HFPA, so there's nothing that can really touch that, I would say.
See, you say HFPA, I call it HPFA.
It's all a matter of interpretation.
That's true.
But also, I would say, you know, the Austin Film Festival is how I met Stephanie Moore, and that's kind of how our relationship started. So.
And how did you get to Austin?
Oh, I packed up a car and moved on down. Needed a change, needed a new life.
Okay, so nothing drove you here other than your own feet.
Nothing really, a job, you know.
Except just, your own feet. Did you really just say nothing
it
drove
did,
you here except
days
your own feet?
Of yes,
I know,
down
that's
down
a
here.
New one. I hadn't
she
heard.
She stoned it here.
Yeah.
I did.
My mother likes to call that the heel toe express.
Oh, there you go. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, we're happy to have you here in Austin.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And we need you. Do you go to much theater?
You know, I've been going more and more, I have to say, now that I've dove into this world over here.
You saw Betrayal in the fall.
I did. When you were
in New York, did you go to theater?
You know, I did. I kind of didn't go to as much as I would have liked, but, you know, I used to go to those lotteries and stand outside.
Of the shows that you saw, do you have a favorite?
You know, I saw Chicago, and I feel like it was something I always wanted to see and finally got to see.
Who did you see in it?
I feel like Melanie Griffith was in it.
Okay.
So that was... It was a birthday present. It was a good experience overall.
I could actually see, I think she played Roxy in that. Actually, I could see her doing that. Yeah. That'd be, yeah.
It was very
It's Candor and Ebb. That was a good pick.
I liked it. I know that's boring, but I enjoyed it.
No, and we talked a little bit about Chicago earlier in the show. So everything comes around. Full Stephanie, circle. What's your story? You've got a huge film background.
I do have a big film background.
Yeah, because I read your CV.
Oh, yes.
I did. And I went to Elizabeth's website. I don't think I saw your website.
I don't have a separate website.
That's why I didn't see it.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm a unicorn. I'm from Austin.
Uh-huh.
Lived here all my life.
What high school did you go to?
Dripping Springs, actually.
No, so you're right not outside. From Austin. You're from Dripping.
No, I'm from Austin.
Okay. Don't take that attitude with me.
No. I just say that because I moved to Dripping Springs in middle school.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, I'm not from Dripping.
Well, part of my family is. Because you call it dripping and not dripping.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I get yelled at by native Drippingites. I'm like, no, it is Dripping Springs, not Dripping Springs. Yeah.
I refuse to do the I-N.
Do you really?
Yes, I'm an Ing girl, which was my sorority name in college.
Yeah, of course it was.
So how did you get into film?
I got divorced. Oh. That's actually how I got into film was I got divorced and was like, I need to find something I'm passionate about. If you ask my best friend from high school, she's like, she was always going to end up in film somehow. I don't agree with her. But 2009, I went to Austin Film Festival and somehow, by some luck, volunteered with the Filmmaker Liaison Program and met these amazing filmmakers, producers and directors and decided, like, this is where I need to be.
So. Oh, that's awesome.
That's so cool.
You made a film of the short story, The Yellow Wallpaper.
No, that was...
That was you. That was okay. Oh, I knew somebody
yeah, no,
did.
No, mine is...
There's a lot of pointing going on right now.
That's you. I did produce a short film that's coming out soon called Hardish Bodies that was a live show before it was a short film.
What's it about?
It's about body positivity at its heart, but really it's about... this guy who's a overweight stripper,
also my sorority name in college.
Yeah, it's a Magic Mike meets the Full Monty.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Cool.
And I love everybody that's involved in it. And I got involved during the live show as one of their marketing person, and they were like, "Hey, do you want to produce the short film?" Yeah. Okay. Cool. And then I've also produced a feature film. I line produced, not actually produced, but line produced. Uh-huh. feature that was an adaptation of Love's Labor's Lost. So wow. Shakespeare's Love's Labor's Lost.
Oh, that's
so you clearly you're working on the production side. Have mm-hmm. you directed? Do you want to direct?
I have no desire to direct. Uh-huh. I do. I love putting together the teams, uh-huh. which is why I love it. I also, Elizabeth makes fun of me all the time for it. Oh, yes. I love QuickBooks.
Yes.
Who doesn't love QuickBooks?
And all the paperwork. I love like figuring out like what needs to go where and budgets and everything. And people look at me like, you actually like line producing.
Who doesn't love QuickBooks? You've got classes, you've got accounts, you've got all sorts of things there.
It's so much fun.
And it makes a ching ching sound. No, it goes a boop boop.
Yep, that's exactly what it does.
Everyone needs like a Stephanie producing. In their lives, just to
amen,
loves that.
Sister.
So explain just briefly line producing versus producing.
Okay, so line producing,
Good question, Lisa.
You're really more taking care of like budgets, things like that. You work really closely with the ADs. Line producing is also called UPMing, unit production managing. So you're really taking care of those like very finite things. Whereas like producing, you're taking care of like the 10,000 foot.
Right.
With line producing, you're taking care like right in the midst of everything. So you kind of have to know what the directing department does and what camera does and what sound does. It's a lot of stuff, but it's great. It's so much fun.
But you love it. And it, so how long ago did you start, did you find this film world? When? How long ago was this divorce is what I'm just trying to get to.
Oh, 10 years, almost 10 years ago.
So 10 years ago, what did you do before that?
I worked for a, I worked for a cancer research company.
Okay. There's no, you sound ashamed.
No.
I wouldn't be.
It was just, it's really weird like where my life has taken me because I went from like being an admin assistant to, I mean, I guess it makes sense. Producing is kind of like being an admin because that's what you are.
Kind of, you're
taking care of everything, but it's really taking on those leadership roles.
Where did you go to college? Did you go to college here as well?
Uh-huh. I went to Texas State.
Have you lived outside of Texas or outside of the Central Texas area?
Yeah, I lived in Brownwood for like 2 years.
Brownwood?
Mm-hmm.
The
armpit of Texas. Literally the armpit of Texas.
That's not the border town.
No,
what am I thinking of?
No, you're thinking Brownsville.
Brownsville, yeah.
That's what
Brownsville.
Everybody assumes. Brownsville is much nicer than Brownwood.
Okay.
Brownwood is just...
So let's just say that you had a wooden house in that town. What color would it be?
Probably like poop brown.
Brown, okay. Brownwood.
Brownwood.
That's where I was going with that.
Yeah, I was about to say.
The like
a 9-year-old son.
Yeah, I did have a 9-year-old son.
Oh, what's his name?
His name is Jordan.
Shout out to Jordan. Shout out to Jordan. Does he have a river?
He does. He says, Mom, I'm named after the Jordan River. And I always look at him and go, no, you're not. You're named after Jordan Catalano because let's be real here. My so-called life and Jared Leto.
There you go. And I went to Jordan Almonds.
Oh.
Because he's got a candy coating. He's sweet.
And sarcastic.
There you go. Elizabeth, New Yorker.
Yes.
What part of New York did you grow up in?
Manhattan, Upper East Side.
Get out of town. Where in the Upper East?
95th and Park.
Okay.
And then my dad's on the West Side.
That was, I did 20 years in New York, and I did not cross Fifth Avenue. Most of my time I lived up in Washington Heights.
Okay, sure.
Not ever, but I'm a snob for the West Side. I do not like the East Side. So.
I'm a downtown my dad's girl, so.
Yeah.
Queens.
The West Side. That's
perfect. So your family's still there?
Yes, yeah. Actually, my dad, I think, is on a plane to Austin right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. That's cool. To visit?
Yes, he and my stepmom are coming to see the show this weekend.
So do they still, East Side, West Side? Yeah. So they could do, well, that's cool. Did you go to public school?
I did not.
Yeah, that's the thing. You don't go to public school.
I went to a school called Spence. The Spence School.
The Spence, okay.
K-12.
Yes, I know the Spence.
And did you... So those of us that did not grow up in New York, but lived in New York and are of theater, are always jealous of people, especially the people that grew up in Manhattan. People that grew up in the boroughs or in Jersey tended never to leave the boroughs or Jersey, but Manhattanites are a special breed. Like, there's no Manhattan dialect. There's no accent. So you can't really get a Manhattan.
Yeah, nobody
person.
Ever really thinks I'm from New York.
No. So, did you go to the? Did your parents take you to the theater? Did y'all explore the arts?
Oh yeah. I actually. So I studied dance at Martha Graham.
Mm-hmm.
So I performed at Lincoln Center when I was 8.
That is cool.
Look at you.
So you know, it was all downhill from there.
Yeah.
No, I did. It was a pretty amazing place to grow up.
you sort of take it for granted. I feel fortunate my parents did take advantage and were able to, did take me to museums, did take me to the theater, ballet, music. And you sort of, yeah, you do. You sort of take it for granted. Like, of course there's world-class art in walking distance.
That was, my parents always shared it with me. They grew up in the city and always, even when we left the city as a young kid and even when I went back as an adult, we always went in between. And I still, I mean, my father's deceased now, but my mom, we still always, like, that was one of the greatest gifts they ever gave me.
It's like, yes. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I went to a football game till college.
No, that we did too. Right. I'm all about both of them. But
I still have not gone to a football game. Yes. So what do you remember your first show?
Oh, well, one of my, one of a story that my parents like to tell is that when I was very little, I went to see the Fantastics and, that ran forever.
Late, did you?
What's that?
You didn't get there late, did you?
We did not. No. They did not like give us the evil eyes. We walk across as to
that
sit.
Was one of the most fun thing about the Sullivan Street Theater. But they would always purposely hold people back.
I was like, did they do it on purpose?
If you were like a little bit late, they would hold you back.
I've seen it many times or had seen it many times since. But apparently, I was three, four, something like that. And you know, when El Gallo goes off and she comes out, she's like, where is he? Apparently, I piped up and was like, he's over there. And my mom says, like, you know, professional actors, wonderful, but they all broke on that.
So at what point did you decide you wanted to make your life in theater?
You know, I think that it sort of just happened by osmosis. I think my costume box from my childhood sort of never went away.
Uh-huh.
A dear friend of mine, Talia Klein, who is also a director, she and I in third grade organized a theater club, in which we put together a theater company and rehearsed on Friday afternoons at my house and wrote a play and performed it for our third grade class. And she made the programs on her dot matrix printer. And it was like these people go into the woods and they shrink. And because I had my mom's music stand that like went up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And so it was like, oh, if that goes up, it means we're shrinking. And then Talia and I have actually collaborated professionally a couple times.
Awesome. So she's still in the business and directing.
She is. She's directing. She's in Durham now. But she directed. I produced the American premiere of Samuel Adamson's Clocks and Whistles in New York.
And so did you go to college in New York?
No, I went to Yale, and I was a You know. That's how I know pieced.
Well, did you do? Were you in the theater department at Yale?
I was. I was a double major, theater and art history.
And so back in the day, I don't know what. So in the late 70s, early 80s, when people would ask me my advice about college, I did not go to college. I said, you know what? If you want to be if you want to be in theater and you want to go to college, you really only have two choices, and that's Juilliard or Yale. Because at that time you had the acting company and you had Yale Rep, which were sort of stepping stones and to professional career. Because at that time you could not get your equity card without a contract. That was the only way to get it. So there was no other path. And that was was Yale, because you don't hear so much about Yale Rep anymore.
So the drama school is the graduate program. Mm-hmm. So we actually, all the undergraduates, we were theater studies majors. It wasn't a BFA, it was a BA. I was a performance concentration, but we also had to learn lots of theater history and writing. And so Anna was at school with me, Alex Timbers, a whole bunch of folks.
Did you take physics while you were at Yale?
You know, what's funny is that I did take, they have something called Group 4s, which were the hard sciences. But like I took like the history of science and there was a moment when I was in my theater studies class and we were crawling around the floor being lizards and I was like, oh my God, my roommate is studying organic chemistry right now.
Oh my God. my stepbrother is the head of the physics department. So I was wondering if you had Sean Barrett as a teacher.
I have a lot of friends who John Stites was my class, so I know
I was wondering where you were going with that question. Unfortunately, we are going way over time, so we have to wrap this up. I'm having so much fun. But just really quickly, I had already asked Allie, but what do you remember the first musicals that either have you gone to New York? I'm pointing at Stephanie.
I have not been to New York.
What?
But I have been to New York, but not to plays.
Uh-huh.
But I my first musical like really nice musical was at Her Majesty's Theatre in London.
Oh, la, la, la. What was it?
It was Phantom of the Opera in Her Majesty's Theatre. Oh, my favorite. God.
You know how I feel about that. Well, you'll be able to see the sequel next season.
Yes, here. In the carnival.
And what was your first musical that you remember?
So I'd have to say probably was The Fantastic, which is still Oh, that's my true.
That's, that would be your first musical. I love that. Have you ever been in it or directed it?
Friends of mine directed it in high school. I'm just a big fan of it.
Have you been in it or
never
done it?
Never been in it. Never done been it. Done it. Isn't that funny?
I did it three times. I was like, three different roles.
Were you the Wallhammer? I don't think.
No, I was. I don't think you. I was one of the fathers in 1977. And then I was stage manager for the Spanish version, Los Fantásticos.
Oh my gosh, wait a minute. Is that with Zoe Cristal?
And then what was the... and then I stage managed for South Jersey Regional Theater, a production of it.
Yeah, right. That's one show.
It's so, so beautiful.
I want to do the old actor.
Oh,
yeah. That would be so much fun.
Oh my gosh. Okay. It's such a great show.
So, well, let's go out, you know, listening to a little bit of the dulcet tones of Jerry Orbach singing Try to Remember. Try to Remember the Code of September. All right, see you guys.
Thank you.
That's it.
Fantastic.
Try to remember the kind of September when grass was green and grain was yellow. Try to remember the kind of September when you were a tender